St. Paul. There's a city named after him.
Oh, yeah, St. Paul, Minnesota.
Cathedrals. Yeah.
We've got a campus pastor here at a church called St. Paul.
Oh, yeah?
But
we just call him Paul.
We just call him Paul, but everybody at Portage Park, they call him St. Paul, right? Portage Park people? In fact, his wife, Becky, she calls him St. Paul.
I think they call her St. Becky, too. But St. Paul, I mean, has cities, cathedrals, schools, universities named after him. And usually you don't hear Paul without the word Saint. Sorry, St. Paul.
Or the apostle. We got to say the apostle Paul.
But I think if Paul were here, he'd say, hold on. The whole idea of me being this holy saint, I want to talk about that for a second. We're going to see that today in 1 Timothy chapter 1.
You're listening Between the Lines. I'm Scott.
I'm Junior.
And, you know, I got to say this, because when I first came to this church, this is, you know, 17 years ago now almost, and the church was, well, it was just a small fraction of what it is today. It was just less than a couple hundred people. And people always wanted to call me Pastor Ziegler, you know, when I was actually not even voted in yet. And I would always correct them. I'd say, you can just call me Scott. And one gentleman, who actually is still in our church, a great, great man. He goes, because he said, I just have a hard time just calling you Scott by your first name. I said, well, Paul only went by Paul. He goes, you mean the Apostle Paul? And I said, well, he never called himself that. And I don't think anybody ever called him that at the time, that he just went by Paul. So, all right, you want to get started reading, Junior?
All right, says this letter is from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. So there you go. He just called himself an apostle.
Then. Well, but he said, "This my name is Paul, and I am an apostle."
I know. I'm just joking. This letter is from the Apostle Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, appointed by the command of God and our Savior in Christ Jesus, who gives us hope. I am writing to Timothy, my true son in the faith. Now, we do know that Timothy was, I believe, raised by a single mom, right?
Yeah. This is, I wish I knew more details about him. We don't have much, but just that it was his mom and his grandma who had faith, and there's no mention of his dad.
Yeah.
So Paul took him in under his wings. Yeah. Timothy became the lead pastor of one of the largest churches in the whole region at that time. Yeah. Ephesus. We were just there in Ephesus.
Yeah, as a young guy.
Yeah, he was a young guy pastoring a very major, influential church.
Yep. And we got to see that the foundations of the church, that church we believe in Ephesus.
Yep.
It says, May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. When I left for Macedonia, I urged you to stay there in Ephesus and stop those teaching and contrary to the truth. Don't let them waste their time in endless discussion of myths and spiritual pedigrees. These things only lead to meaningless speculations, which don't help people live a life of faith in God. The purpose of my instruction, and I do like that. I'm not saying it's false teachings when people just get really, really into all of these like high-level theological debates. There's definitely space for that. But sometimes as a people, we can get so sucked into them. It's like, are we also reaching our neighbor right now?
And I also think there's another temptation to it, and that is, which he addresses, actually, and that is that it makes us look smarter.
Yeah.
And that we're getting attention for my intellectual ability to process all these deep spiritual truths when it's a very simple thing that Jesus taught us, to follow him and do what's right.
Yeah. The purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and genuine faith. Now, he didn't say be filled with a lot of knowledge in their head.
No.
He just said a pure heart.
You don't find that anywhere in Scripture. Yeah. I mean, yes, he does in his prayer to the Philippians, he talks about that they'd be filled with all the knowledge of God. But then you continue on, it's all about being filled with the knowledge of God that then he lives in us and starts living out in us. It's all about still putting this into practice, our faith into practice.
Yeah. Pure heart, clear conscience, genuine faith. Mm. But some people have missed this whole point. Have turned away from these things and spend their time in meaningless discussions. They want to be known as teachers of the law of Moses, but they don't know what they're talking about, even though they speak so confidently. How many verses do we have?
In other words, they're coming across like they're smart. 20 verses.
Yeah, okay. We know that the law is good when used correctly, for the law was not intended for people who do what is right.
And how not to be park here, but I do think this is a helpful discussion. Junior, you and I, when we put together sermons, we really put our time in, and we spend a lot of time. I spend a fair amount of time. I love the original languages. I did 5-6 years of Greek, actually.
Yeah.
By the time I was finished with seminary, and well, I took 6 years of Greek, and Hebrew took me for a year. But I do love the original languages. I still love to delve into the original languages. You and I both spend a lot of time in the commentaries,
mm-hmm.
and so we do our homework. We do yeah. our study.
And usually a sermon is maybe like just a percentage of the study behind
very
it.
Very small, yeah, yeah, very small percentage of it. The problem is this, but one of the things we work hardest at is to make things very clear and understandable so that people aren't walking away confused. And I think that what happens is sometimes we walk away from a preacher because everything was presented in such a complex way and even a little bit confused, and we're thinking, well, because I don't understand everything he said, he must be a lot smarter than
me.
That
was deep.
And so that's what we say. Yeah. You say, oh, was that deep?
Yeah.
And in reality, if it's deep, then it's going to be very clear.
Yeah.
So I think deep is actually putting it into practice. Yeah. That's what depth
is. The depth
is
in practicality.
It's putting it into practice, yeah. yeah. So Jesus was a very plain speaker,
yeah.
and that's how we ought to teach the Bible.
A lot of stories.
I'm not impressed by those that are often referred to as being deep. I honestly, I think I know theology as well as they do.
Yeah.
I think that we put it out for people to be able to understand in a more simple, straightforward manner.
I mean, Jesus was very clear. Punchy, Beatitudes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of stories, parables. We know that the law is good when used correctly, for the law, look at that use, so it's practical. Yeah. For the law was not intended for people who do what is right. It is for those who are lawless and rebellious, who are ungodly and sinful, who consider nothing sacred and defile what is holy, who kill their father and mother, commit mm-hmm. other murders. The law is for people who are sexually immoral or practice homosexuality or are slave traders, liars, promise breakers, or who do anything else that contradicts the wholesome teaching that comes from the glorious good news entrusted to me by our blessed God.
And so Paul had a holy hatred for sin, and he lists off a bunch of sins there. A lot of times Christians, they'll pick out a couple of them that are their pet taboos, like you see yeah. homosexuality here.
Yeah.
But he also includes liars, yeah. promise breakers. Yeah. And, you know, one time I had somebody years ago say, well, what would you do if we had a homosexual person come to our church? I said, well, we already have them, first of all, and I'm grateful that they're there. And he goes, really? I said, yeah, I let him sit. And I knew this guy had a gambling problem. I said, yeah, I let him sit right next to the gamblers and the gossips. He had a gambling problem. His wife was quite a gossip. Yeah, yeah. that's the problem. We all have sin issues. We all have weaknesses towards yeah. certain sins. It's and then the law points out that sin in us, and that's why Jesus came yeah. to deliver us.
We pick on sin that we don't understand. It's like homosexuality yeah. is like something. I just don't understand it at all. But there are other sins that I completely understand and I'm not so hard on because yeah. I understand it pretty well.
No, we ought to hate our own sin first, whatever right. that sin may be.
You want to take it verse 12?
You bet. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him. And though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ, in my insolence, I persecuted his people. But God had mercy on me because I did it in anger, ignorance and unbelief. Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that come from Christ Jesus. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all.
There wow. we are. So he wouldn't call himself a saint.
No.
In fact, if I didn't love Paul so much, it'd be kind of funny to go to like a St. Paul, you know, Catholic church and say to the priest, yeah. you named your church after the worst sinner. You know? That's what he calls yeah. himself.
Well, it was the humility that he was yes. exhibiting. I just, actually just this last week, I got two cards from two different people that just thanked me for my transparency. Two different people that I don't think they know each other.
Hmm.
They just said, I want to thank you for your transparency and being, you know, and I don't see it as any kind of a big deal. I think both of us are, I mean, we really see the importance of this and we're not trying to lift ourselves up above other people that we have the same struggles other people have. We have a savior mm-hmm. that came to redeem us. And that humility ought to be exhibited among all of us. We all have reason to be humble, to be transparent, and admit that we've got a sin issue as well.
Yeah.
That's why we all need Jesus.
Yep.
All right, but God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. I love that. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. All honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. Timothy, my son, verse 18. My son, here is my instructions for you based on the prophetic word spoken about you earlier. May they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. Cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. Cling to your faith, keep your conscience clear. Man, those two stipulations, that's awesome.
Clear conscience, by the way, is repeated in this text. When you have repeated words, they really matter.
Yeah, they mean something.
Clear conscience, that's today's word.
Right. For some people have deliberately violated their consciences, and as a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. Man, do we see that happen. You know, these people that supposedly go through the process, deconstruction, and almost in every case, you can point to a time when they deliberately violated their conscience, and that's when the deconstruction began.
Hold on, before you read verse 20, plug your ears. I'm going to say that this guy's name first, and then I want to see if you say it similar. So plug your ears.
Plug my ears, okay.
Ready? Hymenaeus. Okay.
You said Hymenaeus.
That was different. I said Hymenaeus.
Okay. Well, Hymenaeus and Alexander, or Hymenaeus and Alexander, are two examples. I threw them out and handed them over to Satan so they might learn not to blaspheme God.
You see that? We saw that in 2 Thessalonians yesterday.
Yeah.
We do see this.
This will be church discipline. Like, this is church discipline.
Nobody's under church. I don't know if like church discipline going on right now. So yeah. I'm not like, this isn't an agenda on mine.
Right,
like,
right.
This is something to be practiced by the church.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they were producing division by their false doctrine, false teaching.
Right. That's right.
What was being done. They were teaching for their own gain, not for the benefit of the church.
Yeah.
Let's get over to Proverbs. And we're in Proverbs 9 and verse 12. This is kind of the same theme from yesterday. Talking about wisdom, if you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. If you scorn wisdom, you will be the one to suffer. So what does it mean to scorn wisdom? That's like it's someone making fun of others who do the right thing. That would be scorning wisdom. But if you do the right thing, if you make your decisions based on God's perspective rather than your own feelings, then you're going to benefit from that. This is going to be good for you.
Yeah,
it's a great, great proverb.
It is. All right, well, today is national, well, I'm between two here, but I like one way more than the other. First is National Mature Women's Day. So it's like, all right, National Old Lady Day. but my favorite is National Winston Churchill Day, because I am a big fan of Winston Churchill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you are too.
Yep, absolutely. He's got one of the most quotable people in all of history. Yep. It's awesome.
And he smoked good cigars, that's for sure.
He liked his cigars.
That's right. All right. Hey. Have a good day.
God bless.